I'm Lizanne Flynn. I'm a master healer who works with all earthlings to reunite them within themselves and with each other, regardless of the dimension they're currently in. Meaning, I'm a medium as well as an animal communicator, medical intuitive, and channel for all beings. I use the tools of shamanic journeying and soul retrieval to support animals and humans as they heal from past trauma. I'm certified as a Reiki Master Teacher and as a canine massage therapist. This is the Animal's Eye View podcast. I'll start this podcast with a true story today that many of my listeners might go, aww, with the visual Kinshin schema of it all. And yet, like any metaphor everywhere, it has a contrast aspect as well to balance the light naturally. The story took place during one of my various stints as an animal shelter volunteer, which was an incredibly rich time for me and an initiation all its own into the language of energy. I may have spoken before how my interacting with animals came about, and if I have, you can fast forward through this next part. When my sons were both in middle school and one headed into high school, I decided that I wanted to test my body and the MS, as it were, to see if I might possibly reorient myself to what I perceived to be my changed physical abilities with the MS. And how that might look and feel in the workplace with a different set of physical requirements than at home, and considering at the least adding maybe a part-time employment component to my environment. Again, so that I might be able to see if having both were possible. Interestingly enough, looking backwards, which of course is always hindsight, it was an extremely active decade for me, initiation-wise, when I left the quote-unquote corporate world. So, although I had loved working and I thought it made me a better parent, honestly, a little for me, a lot for them, etc., it seemed that the universe had other plans. You know how this goes. And I would have been the first one to tell you that I couldn't imagine myself as not having a job, a career, that certain part of my identity that was just for me, because in this lifetime I wanted and still want to be of service to others. For whatever reason, in challenging my body and seeing where my abilities may have changed with the MS, equaled volunteering at the local animal shelter. I know, this has the universe written all over it. Because from the mostly very first day at the shelter is when I became aware of my abilities directing me towards animal communication. Hearing and feeling all kinds of thoughts and emotions from the animals at the shelter. And as you might imagine, the majority of them, the animals, were frightened or hurt and in shock at not being perhaps in a home for the first time, or being in a place where there were walls everywhere instead of out in a field, or being handled by so many humans doing so many different things to their bodies. A bit overwhelming, needless to say, for both the animals and me. And yet, going through volunteer orientation, one of the best pieces of advice I ever heard and still use to this day is, animals will and can read you like yesterday's newspapers. Meaning, they know who you are before you set eyes on them. And so, standing at the beginning of a row of, say, dog kennels, it's important that you have your own poop in a group, so to speak, so that your confidence can precede you and help the animals with whom you interact to feel that, and then they can act accordingly by following your lead. Because that's how this works. You shift your energy and they will shift theirs. The shelter at the time here in Colorado had a morning walk program along a green belt of probably about a mile and a quarter, where the volunteers would take two dogs out at a time on these walks in all kinds of weather too, mostly, Below freezing, of course not, yet I remember some sunny days here in Colorado, as it goes, with snow still on the ground and having to watch where you stepped so as not to slip and fall for sure. We would gather at the shelter and get our assigned dogs from their kennels and head off together, truly in a pack. I have very fond memories of those walks and the animals with whom I was honored to partner. Among the other things I did at the shelter was to appear on a local news channel with a version of "How much is that doggy in the window?" during the evening news. A dog or a cat, usually a long-term resident of the shelter, would be identified to travel with me in my car down to the news station, and for 5 to 7 minutes, the dog and I would appear, usually with a weather forecaster, I'm not sure why, at the bottom of the hour. The weather person and I would introduce the dog and talk about their personality and breed so that the public might be able to see and learn just a bit about adopting from the shelter. That was always fun. The animal got to be in a new environment. They got a car ride complete with mostly open windows and almost always get loved on by the staff at the news station. It was just really great all the way around for all beings. There was one time that stood out among the others, and that's when I took a litter of 4 to 5 kittens. The number escapes me as the moment, as almost did the cats at one point. For some reason, I was on the set, this was on a weekend morning, and using a round high-top table, you know, the kind in bars that are great for drinks and nosh with friends, and not so great for what I call juggling cats. In between answering the newscaster's questions about the kittens, how old they were, spaying and neutering, did they need to stay together, etc., and the movement of the very active kittens on a slick and not very big surface, well, I had my hands full in more ways than one. I was so worried that a cat or three would fall off the table and, to be sure, they likely would have landed on their feet in the way of cats everywhere. And to be sure, I was really glad when the set floor director motioned for the segment to end and I could beat a hasty retreat back to the shelter with all the kittens very safe in a carrier. These public events of reaching the most amount of people in one fell swoop, as it were, often did end adoptions for long-term shelter residents. That contract between souls that I've mentioned often is like the old song, "Just One Look." For the energy to leap across time zones sometimes and dimensions because of the recognition that, ah, yes, you are the one who matches perfectly with the soul awareness about which I am here to explore. And of course, it must be said that this is more often on the animal side of the equation. On the human experience side of the equation, we may be looking for different things. The same breed we've always had, a physical reminder of a beloved family member who recently transitioned, a void that is calling to be filled, only to find out at times that the soul path awareness plays out in a very different way than what we had in mind as humans. The true story about animals I mentioned earlier was another event for the shelter that was really an ingenious marketing tool. Walking, mostly, puppies on a runway as if to model them for potential adoptees. This was also a fundraiser for the shelter so that if patrons wanted to buy a table and bring their family and friends to the event, the whole point was the more people attending the event, the better. We volunteers were lined up to walk the runway with the dogs and or puppies. And if memory serves, there weren't any cats involved. I could be wrong about that. I had an adorable terrier puppy who fit just so in the crook of my arm. And of course, naturally, those of us with puppies were mobbed by all the other volunteers and staff organizers because, again, kinshin schema, the cuteness of the very young in all species. As I recall, my walk on the runway was uneventful, and I'm thinking that the puppy I was carrying and modeling, if you will, on the runway, found a forever home soon after the event. For that, I was happy and glad to have played a small, tongue-in-cheek part about being a partner to a model on a runway. Likely, there are other organizations who put on similar events, and I always say, where humans help animals and vice versa, so much good comes of this energy-wise and otherwise as well. There is, of course, a contrast side to just the term animal models, and you'll likely understand that it's not about being on a diet or wearing clothes that don't fit right and shoes that can trip one up. It's about using animals as models for our experimentation on them so that whatever the results of the experiments are benefit us, and at the same time cause us no harm while they're being created. Meaning that no humans are harmed during the sometimes exhaustive research that goes into making drugs that cure this and that for us as well as prolong our lives, and make it so that our numbers on the planet continue to outgrow and take over even more of those resources we think are ours and actually are meant to be shared equitably. It leads from a place of ecosystem versus ecosystem, from a place of domination versus unity, and from a place of human being versus animal. And you know, this last is what I've said before is one of the worst things humans have ever done on Earth. To call ourselves human beings and all other species, a plant, an animal, a crystal, as if sentience and awareness belongs only to us. In truth, we're the ones who are illiterate in the master language that all other species on the planet know so well, that of energy. And whether the animal models are mice or rats or cats or rabbits or, in the recent case in Virginia, whose link I'll put in the podcast notes, beagles. Some 4,000 beagles. That number alone should make you sit up and perhaps not feel well. Were removed from a breeding facility because conditions were so horrific and lethal to any beagle born and or living at this facility. And of course, they can be bred in such large numbers because the demand for beagles in testing facilities is so high. Why beagles, you might be asking yourself? It turns out from another link I'll put in the podcast notes that beagles are mostly docile small breed dogs and so are relatively easy for humans to handle. It also turns out that science, needing strict controls about the consistency of their experiments, tends not to deviate to other breeds so that like can be compared with like across the board. And of course, while we might think mostly of rats and mice as being used as animal models in research experimentation, there are models that come closer to what more closely aligns with the physical attributes of human, those being naturally primates, and yet also cats, rabbits, and dogs. And yet we are truly not the sharpest knife in the drawer because of this quote in the article. Quote, most animal studies do not yield direct benefits. However, the law dictates that clinical trials must be done on animals before moving to humans, and for drugs that do make it through the trials, the payoff can be huge, though whether the same benefits could be realized without animal testing and while avoiding harm to humans remains an open question. Quite frankly, according to the animals, this is a question that must be disconnected one part from the other. They would add, rampant abuse of our species to serve the rapacious needs of your species tells anyone from another planet exactly at whose doorstep the imbalance on Earth now belongs. This is your problem with your species to fix, and so it must remain. We want nothing more to do with any of your attempts to heal your own and demand that our resources not be used in service to another species, whose reckless disregard for balance and partnership within unity has only ensured the premature death of Earth. We take care of each other here, and you can join us only if you're willing to play by all species' rules, not just yours. We deserve so much more from you as stewards and guardians. At least, that's how the animals see it. Thanks for listening today. Leave a review if you're so inspired and be sure to subscribe to this podcast. I offer all new clients a free 15-minute consultation. Reach out if you think I can be of service and to schedule online via www.lizanneflynn.com. Come and find me on social media, Facebook, Twitterverse, Instagram, and LinkedIn. I encourage you to sign up for my quarterly newsletter on my website, where I also post notices for upcoming events, the starting date of courses in the Animal's Eye View Academy and online psychic fairs. Tune in 2 weeks' time, where we already have a message waiting from the animal ambassador, Beluga Whale. It's sure to be a, insert pun here, of a time. This has been the Animal's Eye View podcast. I'll see you next time. Thank you.